This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
High noon, Jones and Keefe. It's a Monday. Normally, we talk to Terp, Pure Hoops High Noon, every Wednesday. But with Game 4 tonight at MSG and Boots on the Ground in New York, we figured we'd check in with Terp. A reminder, 24 hours from now, we have a Tommy Tuesday at High Noon that returns on Tuesdays here on Jones and Keefe. We'll get to your phone calls coming up. You got questions for Terp, 617-779-7937. You can jump in there. We'll get to all your Celtics thoughts coming up. But Justin Turpin, WEEI Live in New York. What's going on, Terp?
What's up, guys?
What can you tell us about Celtics shoot-around? That happened earlier today. Anything jump out from there?
Yeah, the big story, obviously, Sam Hauser. He looks good. He was upgraded from doubtful to questionable yesterday, and he concluded his pregame warm-up here with a dunk. So I think he's going to play tonight, and he looks good.
What's going on with Porzingis? Or anything new coming out with Porzingis? We saw him play, and really, out of all the guys that were really good in Game 3, he was pretty ineffective, didn't play a lot of minutes. Not that they needed him to or anything, but anything new on the Porzingis front?
Yeah, still nothing really new on that front. It's just so bizarre because obviously he dealt with this thing in March and it cost him, I think it was 8 games. And now it just kind of comes back and it seems like he's just kind of waking up and hoping it's going to go away at some point. It's just the whole situation regarding that's bizarre. And they've definitely missed him a lot this postseason, just him being like the true Kristaps Porzingis that we've been seeing. And that's why they went out and got him. Like I take, for example, the end of game two, when they go 0-14 over an 8-minute stretch in the fourth quarter, Kristaps Porzingis is supposed to be the guy that gets them back on track, that they just get in the post, that they just let him go to work, let him right the ship offensively. Like that's why they went out and got him, because they couldn't break his own against Miami. So they went out and got a guy that kind of matchup proof that can break down any defense, and he hasn't been able to do that. So it doesn't matter in games like game three when the shots are falling and they don't really need the clutch minutes from him, but like he is their fourth quarter guy and he's been completely non-existent, and it's been a big deal for them this year. And that's why they've lost a couple of these playoff games, because the safety valve that you've relied so heavily on is just kind of missing.
So you mentioned the shooting and how it came around in game three. They were 20 out of 40 in game three compared to 25 out of 100 in the first two games of the series. Why do you think the shooting came around in game three? Don't just give me a math answer like they were due or it was ultimately going to come around. Like why were they hitting more in game three? Because I do have a theory. I'm curious your thoughts.
First of all, I think it starts with the ball movement. And I know you don't want a math answer, but I will say this, in terms of the assist numbers, it's been kind of telling with their assist numbers. And assists are a flawed stat, obviously, because they have to go in. And I know this offense is a lot process-based, but they have 3 double-digit wins this postseason. And in all of those games, the Celtics have recorded at least 20 assists. Those are the only games they've reached 20 assists. So it's been said a long time about this team, when the ball is moving more freely, they are a better team. So I think that's the answer to that. They were getting better looks from three. Like they were getting open looks in games 1 and 2, but they were pull-up threes. They were not like catch and shoot, good wide open corner threes. Like it was a lot different, the quality of threes they were taking in game three, and that's why they were making them. So ball movement has always been a key to this team. And I think in games 1 and 2, they relied too heavily on those matchups that we spent talking all this previewing of the series, we were talking about the matchups that the Celtics can exploit. I think they got too involved in that in games one and two, and they were just kind of going after them. Like, they were settling for pull-up threes because they had a good matchup, whereas in game three, they were moving the ball, and it was creating higher quality looks that led to them making 20 or 40.
I think part of it for me was Derek White specifically. He took so many threes the first two games, and I know that's his game. I know, like, what, 75% of his shots are threes, like going back to the regular season, but he just took so many, and it felt like a lot of them were early in the possession, and he wasn't hitting them. He only took six and made three of them. Of course, everybody shot pretty well in game three, but he was efficient. He had 17 points. It feels like Derek White had far and away his best game, and I'd like to see more of that than the just catch it and shoot that we saw in the first two games.
For sure, and this team, ever since Derek got here, it's kind of gone as he goes. If you look at the box score, if you just look at his raw plus-minus, when it's a positive, they're very hard to beat. Like, I don't have the exact numbers in front of me, but, like, the numbers of when Derek is a plus on the court that night are ridiculous. Like, they are almost unstoppable when he plays well. And that's the thing. Like, I think, what was it? He took 15 threes in game one? Like, that's way too many. That's way too many, especially when you have guys like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown that you want to get them more shots and you got to get them going inside. So, no, I'm with you for sure. And, like, when he's taking that many, it's just, and like you said, a lot early in the shot clock, where those are a lot of those pull-up threes that we're talking about earlier. These, they're a good look because they're open, I guess, but they're not necessarily a high-quality look because it's a pull-up rather than a catch-and-shoot. And I think he was the biggest culprit in that. A lot of his shots were pull-ups in those first two games, and he was like getting a lot more in-rhythm in game three, which was the biggest difference. Like, they were just getting in-rhythm threes. You can keep looking at all these open shots that they had, but they were pull-ups. It's a lot different.
Celtics won game three by 22. They led by as many as 31, I think it was, in that game. Two-part question. Can they win close games against New York? And two, does it matter? Are we going to have any more close games with the Knicks?
I mean, if they build a lead and just hold it, we shouldn't have that problem. And they did a good job of that. And they took the crowd out of the game three early. Like, they jumped on them early. They built like a 16-point lead. They never dropped below there early in the game. And like, it was really as simple as just making the shots when you have the lead. Don't be settling for empty possessions. Don't try to go for the kill shot. I think that was another thing too, with the three-point shooting in games one and two. They kept going up big, and they'd go for these kill shots, these momentum threes. And I think Jaylen Brown kind of called them out for a little bit after game two. He's like, we don't have to go for this like momentum-changing three. Just like keep playing our game. Just score. Like, you have the lead. Literally just keep scoring, and you're going to win the game. So, I mean, I think they can win close games, but it goes back to what we were talking about earlier with Kristaps Porzingis. Like, they need him to be effective in those moments because he's their fourth quarter guy. Obviously, a lot of attention on Jason Tatum, a lot of attention on Jaylen Brown. He's the difference maker. He's the guy that they went out to succeed in those moments, and he hasn't been there. So I think they can win close games. They proved all the year. Like, their clutch win percentage is one of the best in the league. Last year, they were fantastic in the clutch. Like, they can win close games, but they need Kristaps Porzingis badly.
I know it's nearly impossible to be a Joe Mazzulla translator, but his comments after the game about how you got to tap into the darkness, what do you think he meant by that, if anything?
I have absolutely no clue. Yeah. I have no clue.
Just something creepy to say.
Yeah, like, I mean, just another serial killer quote there.
Yeah.
You can add to the,
it's on our list. We'll throw it in.
Yeah. I don't know what he meant by that, especially because they're like talking about how like they've been there before. Like, what darkness are you tapping into? Like, you're leading on experience and all this, but you want to tap into the darkness. I don't know. It's hard to understand, but yeah, I mean, that's Joe Mazzulla.
What'd you think of the general attitude of the team coming out? I mean, it seemed like outside looking in, you were there. We weren't. It's Terp live in New York leading up to game four. You can check out all his work. WEEI, follow him on Twitter at Justin M. Turpin. And we'll talk to Terp again on Wednesday. What do you think of the general attitude of the team coming out of the game? It felt like from the outside looking in, like a weight off the shoulders. Tatum's talking about the criticism he's dealt with, the comment that Keith just referenced from Mazzulla tapping into the darkness. Even Jaylen Brown was like, look, you got to beat us four times. Or you don't beat us with two wins. You got to beat us four times. It seemed like a weight off their shoulders. How do you interpret the mood following game three?
I really haven't sensed any shift in the mood, to be honest. Even when they were down 0-2, it felt like they were always just confident. Like, they knew that those were games they should have won. And had they made just a handful of open, wide open shots, they would have won. So I don't think there was any kind of shift in that direction at all. I think they've always kind of had this confidence, and they know they are. There is a kind of a swagger to this team where they know they have this talent. They know they are one of the most talented, if not the most talented team in the league. So no, I mean, I don't really shift. Like, I didn't sense any shifts, but I think getting one on the road and actually getting a win did boost some confidence as it would.
What was the atmosphere like inside MSG? I know the Celtics pretty much just took control of the game and ran away with it. Not a lot to cheer for the Knicks, but what is that atmosphere like?
Yeah, there's celebrities everywhere, which is always the case with MSG, which is pretty cool. Like, you just, like, courtside, you look down, it's like, oh, there's Ben Stiller, there's Timothy Chalamet, whoever it may be. Like, mm-hmm. that part of it's pretty cool, but they took them out really early. And I think there was some sort of, like, energy with the crowd, even into the late second quarter, into the third quarter, because obviously what happened in the games one and two, there was some sort of confidence. But for the most part, every time New York was made a run, the Celtics punched back, which was the biggest thing. Like, that poise that they had been lacking in games one and two, when New York made a run, like, the Celtics would just get desperate and maybe settle for a shot. They never did that. And they did a great job of really keeping this crowd out of it, because every time the momentum would start to swing, Boston had an answer, which was huge. And I think that was my biggest takeaway, I think, from game three, is just the poise that they played with. Like, they looked like the championship team that we've seen last year, that we've seen in the past, just because they were able to stay level-headed. They weren't going with the ebbs and flows of the game. They just remained themselves, and I think that was the biggest difference maker, and it did a great job taking the crowd out of the game as well.
The other series in the East right now, 3-1 in favor of the Pacers. I don't know how much of it you were able to watch, but it seems like that series is over. Do you think it's a foregone conclusion, Celtics and Pacers next round?
It's hard not to look at that game last night and think that they should just have running clock for the rest of that series. Like, that was absolutely embarrassing from Cleveland. And I mean, they just seem like just a fraudulent team. Like, I know they were banged up a little bit in the series, but they had everyone back. It's just, there's a lot of holes on that team that have been exposed in the series. And we've been kind of, the show's high on the Pacers. We talked about it when the league survey came out, or the Cavs.
Yeah, so, you liked them. And Keith liked the Cavs. Brad Stevens liked the Cavs. You liked Indy way back when. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that was the toughest series that they played last year. And that the players are on record with that. Joe Mazzulla was on record saying that. Like, that was the toughest series that they played last year. And I don't think the Pacers get enough credit. And you know what's funny? Their season this year was pretty similar to one they had last year. Like, Halliburton got hurt in the middle of last year. They slipped a little bit, and then they had that improbable run to the conference finals. At least this year, they had a little bit more credibility, because obviously they're in the conference finals last year. But it was the same thing. Halliburton got banged up a little bit. It took them a little bit to get going, like, longer than it should have. And so they were kind of a middling team, hanging around the 4 or 5 seed. And now, you know, they've been there before, and they're showing it. Like, the way they executed down the stretch in, what was it, game two, when they had that big comeback and, like, trailed by 7 with, like, 53 seconds left and ended up winning. Like, that's the kind of stuff that you learn from just having this postseason experience. And they were down 0-2 last year to New York, and they, you know, came back, dug out of that hole on the road. So that team's battle-tested, and that's a team, if I'm the Celtics, I wouldn't want to see. Like, they gave you a lot of trouble last year, and they're even better than they were last year this season. So that's a scary team.
What jumps out from the West? You have OKC and Denver tied 2-2, and then you have Minnesota up 2-1 with game four tonight.
Really, just in the case of the Denver and Oklahoma City, it's just the inefficiency of the stars. Like, they're doing a great job limiting Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Mm-hmm. Denver's doing a great job, and that's what's kind of kept them in the series. And to think they're doing it with an interim coach is pretty impressive. But, yeah, no, like, everything for the West other than that, like, Golden State obviously is hurting without Steph Curry. It's been kind of going to plan, but I don't think people expected Denver to push Oklahoma City as much as they had. And now they steal home court now. It's a best of three in that series now. So, I mean, I don't know. There's a lot to be said about that championship poise. I think we saw it last year when the Celtics got Jrue Holiday, just how he executed down those stretches when it really mattered. And I think Denver's been there before, obviously. Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, MPJ, they have plenty of guys that have been there and done that, which could be invaluable. I mean, I wouldn't rule them out for certain. I haven't looked at the betting lines or anything for that series, but I would not rule out Denver beating Oklahoma City. They're a younger team. That was the biggest question mark surrounding them going into the postseason, is do they learn enough? Have they been there? Like, obviously, they had an early exit last year. You have to really learn to lose before you can learn to win, as weird as that sounds. And I don't know if Oklahoma City's done that.
All right, so Terp, we know you have full Celtics coverage, shoot around, games, et cetera, practices, day between games. What does Terp do when in New York? When you have some downtime, what is Terp doing in New York?
We actually played basketball yesterday at the Brooklyn Bridge Court. These courts were phenomenal. Like, there's just, like, right on the water. You can see the Statue of Liberty from there. It's, like, literally right next to the Brooklyn Bridge. So that was pretty cool. And then we went out after. So, yeah, we watched the Cavs Pacers. It's pretty much just a basketball retreat, to be honest. It was pretty fun.
Did you go down and play one-on-one against George the Messiah?
No, I didn't do that. I would love to, though. I mean, he's a little bit more physical. I'm more of a shooter. That's the thing.
Terps a finesse player?
Terps a shooter?
Yeah,
he loves the Celtics.
Like, you would think I'm a center. Like, you'd think I'd play as, like, a power forward or a center. No, I play as a guard, which is pretty weird. Right. Yeah, no, I like to shoot.
All right, fair enough.
I like that. What's the crew? What's your crew that you're running the streets with?
So we had yesterday, it was myself, Jack Simone, Bobby Manning from CLNS, and Bobby Kravitsky, and we were taking on a couple of locals. We were running the court. We were running the court. We were holding it down. It was king of the court there, so it was fun.
Nice. Aztec Geno giving that a fist pump. Yep. Terp, we appreciate it. Excellent coverage from Justin M. Turpin on Twitter, all over WEEI. You can check it out for Game 4 tonight. Terp, thanks so much. Talk to you Wednesday.
All right, guys. See you then.
All right. Thank you, Terp. Pure Hoops with Terp every week here on Jones and Kiefer.
It's all it
is. Bonus appearance, though, yeah.
Watching hoops, playing hoops, covering hoops. You know, that's what he does. It's in his blood.
He's pure hoops. He tried to tell us that.
Yeah, no, he's not lying.
What'd you do when you were in New York? That was not the answer I expected.
Why? He was running the court.
Was playing pickup?
Brooklyn Bridge hoops? Like, what the hell?
Pure hoops.
I didn't know that was coming. Good for him.
Oh, for real? Good for him.
Sick brag, bro.
There was an element of that. Yeah. Say it again.
Should have asked if it was chain nets.
Oh, that's the good
real
question.
Street ball.
Nets. I mean, sometimes you don't even get a net.
Yeah, that always threw me off.
No
net and a double rim.
Because, like, my eyesight's not great.
Oh, really?
So, like, that go in? Like, no, that didn't go in. Looks like it went in.
Like, are you sure?
Did I hit that?
Yeah, you could have some real debates about that. That's true.
You have to go off the backboard to really tell.
Yeah.
Tim Duncan dominates in games like that. No nets.
I want footage George the Messiah scowl style.
They
You're right,
set up a little tripod and film Terp's games.
What are we watching on Twitch right now? Is this actual like Terp footage from where they were playing? Those are nice courts.
That'd be hilarious.
Is that what that is?
I have no idea.
I don't know either. Those look
Brian's
lovely.
Cooking something up back there. That could be where Terp's
could
playing.
Just be AI generated for all. I don't Maybe. Even know what I'm looking at. But that if those are the courts, those look wonderful.
But I mean, they'll have to go back for game 6, right? Like that's already. The Celtics can't win in 5.
Well, no, the Celtics can't.
Well, you think the Knicks are going to win in 5?
I'm just saying, right now, there's no guarantee of a game 6 because of the Knicks.
Yeah, there could be just 2 games left in the series.
There could be. I'm not overly concerned about
that. I would not bet on that.
But no, there could be. You can jump in, 617-779-7937. I'm with Terp. Like, I mean, look, they weren't going to shoot 25% for the series. I do get that. So their shot was going to come back around. The ball movement's better in that last game, but he's right. Assists are flawed because you need to make baskets for your assists to go up. So I get all that. It starts with Tatum. If Tatum's locked in and Tatum's making all these shots, it's not like you don't defend Tatum when he's missing, but you have to people start scrambling because they go, holy crap, Tatum's locked in. We got to double him. I got to leave my guy. I can't leave him open. You start to panic on defense when the other team's best player is going. He hadn't been going. I don't think it's a coincidence that when he started this game on time, he started it by making threes. The rest of the shooting followed. It starts with him, as it does on most of these teams, with the best player. The top scorer needs to be that guy. And it's great that he throws in some rebounds and he plays some defense and he gets some assists. What he needs to do is score. That's what every best player just about on every team needs to do. That's where it's when SGA is struggling.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not efficient.
Right.
That's part of the reason. I watched that series as closely as this. That's a big part of the reason why OKC is in a series 2-2. Because he's not going. I'd say the same thing about them that I'd say about Tatum.
Yeah, no, he has. So Tatum has more guys that can score
way
and
more
bail
help.
Him out,
yep.
obviously.
Yep.
But the same is true for all those top guys. Like if Anthony Edwards or Donovan Mitchell or Jalen Brunson isn't scoring a lot, you're not going to hype up the other stuff. The other stuff is great, and it's what makes them great players, right? Like if he finishes the night, you know, 25 points, but he also has 10 boards, 7 assists for Tatum, like, great, that's great. But when you're, you know, low teens, you're like, well, you need more. You need a lot more than that, especially if you don't have a full strength Porzingis, especially if some of the other guys are shooting the way that they are. But yeah, no, I thought Tatum had a good game overall. My question is, with this team, we've seen 2 games where they couldn't throw it in the ocean, then 1 game where they couldn't miss. Does it continue like that where it's one or the other, or do they finally have a game that's sort of 34% as a team and just sort of like what the average would be?
No, and look, they're going to, if they're shooting like that, they're
unbeatable.
Right. No one's going to beat them. The question is, do they need to win like that? Can they win close games? Can they execute? And do we have a series? Who's got more at stake in the game 4 tonight? I think that answer is pretty obvious, but you can jump in. 617-779-7937. We'll get to that with all your feedback right after Trending with Billy Lane.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy,
celebrity interviews, or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals. But you're scrolling your phone, and maybe you're in bed. Because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt, or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So, download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
That was Jaylen Brown after the game. I like that message from Jaylen. I like that answer. You got to beat us four times. You can't beat us twice and think you have us beat. You got to beat us four times. Best of luck. And I don't know. Jaylen can frustrate you on the floor. I largely like his competitiveness. The turnovers get old. The settling for threes, like everybody else does, gets old. But I generally like his answers and his attitude after the game. And I think in some ways, he can't be the leader on this team. Tatum's the leader of this team. But I do think they kind of follow his lead on some of this stuff. Like, hey,
did you notice in the game too? I think was it Richard Jefferson, whoever it was like Jaylen Brown's like the leader of the team, or maybe it was Perk at halftime. One of the guys sort of like said that during the broadcast.
But do you agree with that?
I don't really know if they have like one individual guy.
I just think it's
I think like Holiday does. Like
Tatum's the guy.
I mean Tatum's the best player,
but he also if you're the best, it's like a quarterback. The guy's your leader, whether you like it or not.
Yeah.
And Tatum's a different kind of leader. I like some of that fire and passion that Jaylen brings, and hopefully they feed off that. Like guys, they only beat us twice. That is the right mindset. You don't want to excuse the first two games, but that is the right mindset. They only beat us twice. They got to get us two more times. Good luck to you.
Yeah, I thought Brown and Tatum, which we'll get into, I think they both said a lot of the right things. Now, it's easier to say the right things right after a win and sort of change it. You know, how we look at it, you guys couldn't miss a shot. And it feels like, even with that one win, it feels like the Celtics are now up in the series. I think even a lot of Knicks fans would really admit that. You know, they get like, oh, man, we came back from these two 20-point leads, did not come back this time. And it felt like, oh, man, like we needed to kind of keep this momentum, like really just blitz the Celtics and just get the series over with as quick as possible. Now that they won this one, you know, you can't feel great about it tonight.
Who's got more at stake tonight, Celtics or
the
Knicks?
The Knicks.
Obvious,
it's not
right?
even close.
Like,
I mean, 2-2 to get things over. 3-1, honestly, I still might take the Celtics. But at that point.
Yeah, I got to see it. I don't know what I'm picking the Celtics, but like tonight is not a must win for the Celtics.
For the Knicks, it is.
It is.
Yeah.
They can't come home, lose two games, have to go back to Boston, forget. Like they're done.
No chance.
If they lose tonight, they're done.
Yeah.
And I would pick them to lose tonight. So no, it's a must win for them. They have way more at stake in this game tonight. The Celtics should play free and easy on some level, but you don't want them playing too free and easy.
Right.
Like you don't want to say, hey, we got a game, we're back, our shots were falling, we're back. Like you don't want to fall back into and relapse into what you did in game 1 and 2. But you can jump in with all your thoughts for tonight. Are the Celtics back? Who has more stake? Is it time to trust Tatum again? Because I do think Tatum was much better in Game 3. Yeah. I don't think he was spectacular. I don't think he dominated. But I think he was a lot better, and he was a lot better early in hitting shots early, which I think helps everything else. So again, you can jump in here, 617-779-7937. On the line right now, and he promised he would call back in.
That's right.
Very positive going into Game 3. I'd imagine even more so coming out of Game 3. This is, it says on my screen, Celtics number one superfan, Aztec Gino. Hello, Gino.
Guys, how we doing? Thanks for taking my call.
No problem, Gino. How are you feeling?
Yeah. But you guys going to take off Nate Dogg chicken head guy again because you guys still thinking that the Celtics are not going to win in seven. No. After that dominant win, guys, I'm thinking
you
Celtics
think it's
going to
go seven?
Six.
That's a little
six.
Negative.
Oh, okay, six. Six.
Okay, yeah,
yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Six.
But listen, after that, listen, I wouldn't want to be a Knicks fan right now. I'm not sure when Keith Keys did all those Knicks super fun. You see those guys bowing their head in shame,
Spike
guys?
Lee. Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're embarrassed.
Spike those Lee, poor little fellers, yeah.
Spike Lee, Ben Stiller, I saw Tracy Morgan. But, I mean, guys, we got the momentum now. They were playing Celtics basketball. They were moving the ball. What was it? We hit like 20 out of 40 threes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I did listen to Tilp's interview, and Tilp said Porzingis is the key to this game. But, you know, I want to disagree with Tilp because I want to call out Pritch, please, or the sixth man of the year, guys.
Okay.
A great game. That's the key? Yeah.
Yeah. Guys, he had 23 points. He had like 5 out of 8. He was playing harassing defense, guys. To me, Pritch, please, our reigning sixth man of the year is the X factor, guys.
Now, Aztec Gino, I don't want to call you onto the carpet here, but on Twitch, we've had so you seem to be a little biased on this because there's a lot of pictures with you and Peyton Pritchard.
Oh,
so it's like is your view on Pritchard a little skewed because he's been nice to the Celtics celebrity fans?
Oh, you mean the Celtics super fans? Oh, by
yes.
the way,
oh,
the
I'm
Celtics
sorry, the
super
fans.
Fans.
I'm sorry. Yeah, shame on me. Yes.
Celebrity
no,
stars.
No, yes. no. Talking about the Celtics super fans, you know, they were all very excited and they thanked me for calling in when I called in on Friday.
Yeah,
they,
the group
they
chat
appreciated
was popping.
That, but
green hair Pritch, guy.
Yep. Yeah, but you know what? But listen, Pritch, please, deserves it, right? Nothing against the unicorn. I agree with Tib that we need the unicorn. And yeah, but roll back to last year in the playoffs. Let me refresh your memory. Porzingis wasn't healthy either, and we won banner 18, correct?
Correct, yeah. Yes. No, we don't think Porzingis is the key. We're with you, yeah.
Yeah. But listen, people have a short memory. We were the best three-point team in the NBA, right?
Yeah, no, we remember.
Pritchard broke the record. Yeah. Help me out. Who else broke it? Derek White broke
Tatum
the record.
Probably. Everybody broke
they
it.
All, yeah, they all
Tatum
broke each other's
broke
record.
Gino, what's the place going to be like? Gino, what's the place going to be like on Wednesday for Game 5? What's the atmosphere going to be like?
Jeez, that thing's going to be crazy. I wouldn't want to be a Knicks fan coming in. Forget that. You know that they, like I said the last time, they taunt us, they harass us. When we win tonight, guys, because. And then, you know, for them to come into that environment, that hostile environment, right? Because, you know, like Bob Marley told me at the thing, he said, you woke up a sleeping giant. You were provoking us.
Yep.
The Celtics woke up. They were playing Celtics basketball. They were moving the ball. You know, we were getting those open threes. We were playing, you know, this is the kind of basketball that won us banner 18, guys.
Okay, Gino, you're guaranteeing a win. It'll be an electric atmosphere. Don't be a stranger. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right, go Celtics.
Okay, go Celtics, Aztec Gino.
Good checking with Aztec, who is a man of his word. Said Friday he'd call back in no matter what happened in Game 3.
He said either way.
And he called back in?
Nah, if they lost...
I think
know,
he would have.
But he seemed
he
would
have predicted a comeback.
Yeah, my apologies to the Celtics super fans.
Super fans. That's celebrity
what I call
fans.
Them.
Celebrity fans.
That's true.
That's Donnie Wahlberg and pretty much just Donnie Wahlberg.
That's a good point. Yeah.
The super fans are the ones
McLovin.
That are in every game. McLovin is
McLovin,
as well.
Yeah. Donnie Wahlberg.
Robert Kraft, Juwan Bentley.
Juwan Bentley.
Yep, yeah. Robert Kraft. Mike Vrabel now. Mike Vrabel is at every game.
Those are the celebrity fans here in Boston.
This is a different group. This is
the super fans.
The Green Team Avengers, I think is what they were called.
I would like, again, texts I want probably in order, like Bill's texts. Yeah. I'd like to see those.
You want to see Bill's texts?
Yeah, some of them.
Not all of them.
And then I want to see the Celtics celebrity
group chat. Bob Marley.
I want to see
Celtics.
Yeah.
Green hair guy.
Yeah.
Balcony Gino.
Caveman Causeway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want all those
guys.
Nard Dog.
Oh, yeah, Nate Dogg, yeah. Chicken Head guy. Same guy.
Yeah, same guy.
Yeah, same guy.
I want all of it.
Yeah?
Is what I want.
Do you think there's going to be as many Knicks fans at the TD Garden on Friday or Wednesday?
Yeah. Yeah, they took the thing over.
They kind of, there was.
Yeah.
They had like a stand-in.
Yes, that's exactly
they had like a rally there. Like, get them out of here.
They really did. So, no, it might not go as well for them.
No, probably
but
not.
I think there will be a sizable amount of them for sure.
Yeah.
So you can jump in, 617-779-7937. I asked you this earlier, Keith, and maybe it's a flawed question because maybe they never went anywhere. Are the Celtics back? Like, was Saturday game three? They're locked in. They're the same team we expected. The first two games didn't go ideal, but they're back. Is that what we now saw in game three?
I mean, kind of. I don't know if they really weren't gone. Like, I didn't think they were on the brink of elimination. I still didn't feel that way. And part of it was because they outplayed the Knicks for such a long period of time, and then they lost the game. And that's the most important thing. But they were up by 20 in game one and two. And then let it slip away. I was still saying they were the better team, and they just needed to shoot better, and they shot significantly better, and then it wasn't even a game. So, yeah, it's 2-1, but it does feel like the Celtics are up, and the Knicks almost have to play a little bit more desperate. So it was good to see them have a game like this because we saw, I mean, when you watch 75 missed threes, it's a tough watch.
It is.
Like, as a fan, you're like, oh, my God, like, again with this? And then the fact that they were hitting so many and hitting so many early, they got a big lead and played that way. I think they've sort of, it's crazy to say because they're trailing in the series, but it felt like they just took control of it again.
617-779-7937. Are the Celtics back? What changed in that game? I do think, Keith, like I'd expect them to win now the next three games. Like I feel like
I wouldn't be surprised.
They closed out with a 20-point lead, closed out, quote unquote. They didn't let the Knicks back into it. And I think that was a mental hurt for whatever reason. They needed to get over that, to not play tight and to not lock up down the stretch. Sounds stupid. They're way better than the Knicks. Mm-hmm. But I do think that's what happened in each of these two games. It was much about them as anything the Knicks were doing. It was much about them
being
in their own heads, locking up, playing tight as anything else. You win one, feels like the floodgates are going to open. So, no, much more at stake for the Knicks tonight. A much more important game for them tonight. And I'd expect to go back to Boston 2-2. With our guy Aztec Gino.
Oh yeah.
In the
front
house
and center.
Now we're being taken to task by the text line 617-779-7937. Guys, you're friends now. You can call him Aztec.
Call him Aztec.
Yeah, well, I called him Gino.
Yeah,
it didn't feel right when I did it.
No.
We're new to this relationship, Keith. We're still kind of feeling our way out.
What would you call Balcony Gino? I'd call him Balcony.
You can't just call them all Gino. It's a good point. You got to differentiate.
Well.
Yeah, hey, Gino.
And then there's like the real Gino.
Yeah, no, it's true.
The late, great Gino.
You got to differentiate between all of them. It's
another good question on the text line. Is it Chicken Head Guy or Chicken Hat Guy?
Well, I call him Chicken Hat Guy. I guess I don't know his official name, but that's what I call him.
Nate Dogg.
He's wearing, yeah, that's true.
Nate Dogg.
He's wearing a chicken hat, not a chicken head. He's wearing a chicken hat.
Great quote by Bob Marley. He woke a sleeping giant. He does reference all the celebrity guys quite a bit.
He does.
Which I'm sure they love. They appreciate that.
Yeah. Bill's text, the Celtics celebrity super fan. Super fan.
We need that full roster so we can tier them.
Yeah, we do.
We need tiers.
Should
tomorrow.
We tier all the celebrity fans and super fans together?
Yeah, maybe.
We just got to make sure we get a proper rundown because you don't want to miss anybody.
Oh my God.
We called because you forgot.
Right. Well,
it was a top 10 list. I could include everybody.
Right. Yeah, that was
redo your list then.
By definition, that was already a finite list.
So I had
list.
To put Dan Cook on there.
Yeah.
I had to put Bill Simmons on there.
Levin's got to be on
Bill
there.
Bill Simmons' dad. Got to be on there.
Dr. Bill Simmons. Yeah, you got to have him on there for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's throw that in the hat, into the ring for Tier 2
maybe.
Tomorrow.
Maybe.
That's a hard maybe.
I'm giving it a maybe.
Okay. Yeah. That's at 11:30 tomorrow, Tier Tuesday. Tune in for it. We'll see what we have cooked up by then. Let's get into the Celtics, their stylistic victory, or the way they won, I should say, in Game 3. Stylistically, can they win a close game head-to-head against New York? And are we at the point where we trust Jason Tatum after a bigger Game 3? That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely.
endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere,
applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
That was Jason Tatum after game three. An answer that we both liked earlier, Keith. Twitch chat, reacting in kind. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. JT crushed this. I love this answer from JT. Our baby's all grown up now.
I kind of agree. I think that's a perfect answer. When I heard it this weekend, I was like, man, that kind of hits on everything. It's like, yeah, like I'm doing pretty well, but there are times where I can play better. It's kind of par for the course, acknowledging the fact that great players prior to him went through it. Great players after him are going to go through it. But he also does get a ton of credit. He does get a ton of accolades. He does get all this stuff. I don't know, that felt like a guy that was very, very well aware of sort of his place in the league, his place on the team, and all that kind of stuff.
So that's the part of the answer I like, too. He's like, well, other guys have gotten this criticism, mm-hmm. and I'm not the first who's going to get it. I won't be the last who's going to get it. I like that part of it. It's just, it is a real shift, and maybe he's just learned it, or maybe he's just learned to say the right thing, but it's a real shift from when he won a championship last year, being like, what are they going to say now?
So when he won a championship last year, he did kind of parrot a lot of other people's stuff. There's that great like Twitter thread of him just kind of copying like
Garnett,
Kobe, Pierce, LeBron, like all these different guys. And I don't know. I think he was still kind of finding himself a little bit. Because I mean, one of the major knocks on him was, and he and Brown, like, were they going to be able to win a title? Were they going to be able to win a title? They won a title.
No, you're in that
so
club now.
He did have that. But yeah, like this response talks about like, yeah, he hasn't played great in some of these fourth quarters or these final possessions or whatever, and he admits like I need to play better at times. I feel like we never hear that from Joe Mazzulla. I feel like Joe Mazzulla is always looking one other way, pointing somewhere else, or like, well, we had the right shot, or this, you know, this, he just didn't make it, and like all this stuff. Whereas that's a guy taking accountability for some of the bad games that he's had.
No, and I like that from Tatum too. Because, and even if he's just saying the right thing, whether he really believes it or not, I have no idea. But even if he's just saying the right thing, I like that he's saying it. Because we talk about, the way we talk about Giannis is so much worse than the way we talk about Tatum. We're like, the guy's a loser.
Yeah.
And he's very relevant today. He's back in the news.
Well, he's said such losery things too. Yeah.
And, but he's won. I mean, he's way more accomplished than Tatum. Both their careers ended right now today. Giannis had a far better career than Tatum. And we've been ripping the guy to shreds.
Yeah.
So you won one championship. No one can take that away from you. But we criticize guys who have won multiple titles. We criticize guys who have won a lot more in the league and are way more accomplished than you. And for him to just say that, again, whether he really feels that way, whether he agrees with it or not, to acknowledge that in the NBA, when I don't play well, I'm going to get ripped.
Yeah.
And I live a pretty good life, and that's what I got to deal with. To make $300 million and provide for my family and live the great life that I lead, sometimes I got to deal with some criticism. That's a grown-up answer from Tatum, which I appreciate.
And it's It's similar yet a lot better than the you see the Mitchell Robinson response?
I did watch that video.
So Mitchell Robinson, of course, the hack of Mitch was going on once again. It's been happening all series, all playoff long. He had some bad misses. He got like a standing O when he made a shot. There's like this, the whole thing.
Yeah, what did he start? 0 for 4 or 5? Something
yeah,
like that
yeah.
in that game?
And like one, one of them was another one that was just like horrible.
Yeah. His knees don't work. I tried to tell you this. His knees somehow don't function on a free throw.
But I feel like even if you just stood there flat footed and didn't bend your knees, it would look better. But regardless, he's struggling. He's got the yips or he's just a horrible shooter or whatever.
All of
but
them.
He like took the Instagram and he's like, I know you're all commenting, doing stupid stuff, thinking I really care. I really don't.
Yeah.
He goes, y'all know what I care about is this mother bleeping truck playing basketball and my daughter.
He shows like this tricked out giant.
He's like,
rig.
Y'all should know me better by now. But it's like, no. We can see it. You are being broken on the floor. There are guys that have been, the hack of Shaq, hack of Ben Wallace, hack of whatever. Like Mitchell Robinson on some of those missed free throws is like going through it.
Yeah.
So when he's like, but I don't really care.
I still wouldn't do it, by the way.
No, I wouldn't either.
I still wouldn't do it if I'm the Celtics, but no, it's he can claim it hasn't gotten to him. It's clearly gotten
to him. No, but I was like two different guys, and Robinson and Tatum, both sort of like after a game, after a performance, saying like, well, this is what's going on. Like Mitchell Robinson is trying to tell us that he doesn't care about what being said, but he's going about it the wrong way. He clearly cares.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't have this video. Tatum's at a press conference and he's being asked about stuff and he's like, yeah, there are times where I need to play better, kind of par for the course type of thing. His seems way more genuine is what I'm saying.
And I would give Tatum credit. It's easy to come in after a win and do that. Tatum did it in between game two and game three as well.
Yeah.
He didn't talk right after game two because the Garden got evacuated for a fire alarm being pulled. But he did talk in between game two, putting some of it on him. So maybe Tatum gets it, and maybe this is a shift, some growth for Jason Tatum. Do you think we can trust him games like he had in game three? Do you think we can trust that going forward for the rest of at least this series?
I think it's still going to be a game-by-game type of thing. You know, we've seen so many games of Tatum's career, so many games down the stretch where he's had moments where he's had these huge shots, including against the Knicks in the regular season. But just because that happens once doesn't mean you fully feel great about it every time. I would lump Mazzulla in there as well. I don't know if Mazzulla's always going to put him in the right spot. And if you're talking about what impact does a coach have, it might be calling a timeout or not calling a timeout, drawing up a play as opposed to not drawing up a play, things like that. So if you add the Mazzulla coaching part of it with Tatum and the other players on the court, yeah, I don't have like a great deal of confidence, but I'm not going the other way and being like, oh, you're screwed. They give no chance.
No, I think they can win games if Tatum doesn't play well, but you might be in a close game. I have fears about the Celtics winning close games. And when they're raining in threes and they're up 25 and cruising to a victory, I think they can win games that way. Can they win a close one? And if Tatum's struggling, they may have to. But I'm not fully counting on Jason Tatum being locked in as a high-volume, efficient scorer. And he wasn't even super efficient. It felt a lot better than it was. He was still only 8 for 20.
Yeah, because he hit a bunch of threes early, and they got up big, and then they never looked
back.
But
that's what I'm talking about. I mean, if he starts out red hot and they build up a 30-point lead and then he cools off and misses some shots, I don't really care about that.
Yeah.
As long as the Knicks aren't coming back and they keep their foots on their throat. But the way Tatum started that game to me felt like a shift, certainly from the first two games. I just don't know how much you can count on it.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, one text doesn't like the answer. I get a feeling this is the same texture. I notice the same tone from this.
Yeah, I don't know how you don't like that one.
He says the perfect answer.
Yeah.
He just told you when push comes to shove, he has no motivation. Oh. Nothing that's going to push him over the edge because he's always just so happy.
Disagree. So that's not really what he meant.
What he's saying is, I understand the criticism.
Yeah.
I don't think he likes the criticism. I think he's told you many, many times in different interviews that he follows it. He pays attention to it. He doesn't like it. He lets you know that when they want a title. What are they going to say now? But I think he understands it's in play when he plays poorly. And again, as I've said a couple of times, even if he's just saying it, whether he really feels that way, I have no idea. But even if he's just saying it, that's a grown-up adult answer for Tatum.
But he also knows what he's not, and that comes across as fake. Like if you're like, oh, I need to be like have smoke coming out of my nose.
But he was, it was a little bit of angry Tatum against Orlando. There's a little bit of it.
I guess
it.
On the Tatum scale.
On the Tatum scale, he was angry.
Yeah,
on
a
normal human being, it barely registered a pulse. But, yeah, no, he gave a little elbow to Caldwell Pope, and he got a little fiery, certainly with refs.
Sick of him.
He's always willing to yell at a ref.
Oh, he'll holler at her. He'll bark at
he'll
a ref.
He'll get real fired up with them. Yeah. 617-779-7937. A reminder, tomorrow we have Kiefer Madness at 12:45, so stay tuned for that. It's a good long 24-hour tease to lock in for tomorrow. And we'll get back to the Red Sox along with all your Celtics phone calls. This is weird, Keith. I think we both stand with John Henry,
what?
Of all people. Let's get to that next.
Nice tease there.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.